Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Frankie Lemon Rob.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer B Radio. Just before coming on the air, we're sitting here talking about the destruction recently down in Alabama and how quickly that moved into the area. I just came back from the state of Alabama, and we have offices in that area, and I've lived in that area for a while, many years ago, so I'm very familiar with it. This time of year, we have a lot of potential for hurricanes as cold air quickly drops from the north down into the deep, deep parts of the southeastern area, including Alabama and Florida, and immediately hitting that very warm Gulf Coast air, and it can really quickly erupt into a very violent tornadic situation, which is exactly what happened last week. So I've seen the destruction firsthand. Alabama does see quite a bit of devastating weather. Most of it moves in from the west, but sometimes during this time of year, it does move from the northeast down into the warmer air down in the southeast region of the U.S., and that's when we see tornadoes really pop up very quickly and be very destructive, as was the case last week. This time of year, we have to be very careful, folks. We really do. I mean, we're working in public safety and security. We're out there in the weather, all sorts of weather, not just when it's nice and warm. You know, many people, when it's cold, they just kind of stay in and cover up, watch TV and binge, eat and watch oldies but goodies. We, in the public safety business, we have to be out there. We've got to be out there protecting life and property. And that puts our own selves at risk many times during bad weather, and that's unfortunately part of the job. I'm your host this morning, Rick McCamp, founder and CEO of Private Officer International Armor College and a group of companies. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about responding to medical and other types of emergencies, including weather-related. Very frequently, our security officers, who are definitely the frontline emergency responder, very frequently are they involved in responding to medical calls and other disasters and emergencies on not only their property where they're assigned, but also the community where they're at. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We are really in the midst of a lot of things happening here at Private Officer. We're changing up some of the aspects of how we do business. We're going to be adding some positions. We're going to have opportunities for you to participate more and to get involved. One of the things that we're really getting into, and we have in years past had a pretty large community outreach, but we're beginning a much larger community outreach. We're going to be doing a lot more community safety training, doing workshops out with the public. We're also going to be out doing more hands-on, getting involved with the community, preparing for disasters and working in disaster relief. So we have several companies that do that, that we're involved in. And of course, many of you know that I'm also a paramedic and a firefighter and work with those agencies in my community. And we're going to start networking more and more, trying to help the community. And you're going to hear a lot more about that. Also, we are really ramping up being able to assist our own members. During the last couple of years, there's been a couple of horrific storms that have hit Houston, Texas, and parts of Florida's panhandle. We've been able to assist some of our own members as well as community members, and we want to do a lot more of that. We want you to get involved. It's not easy to find the time. I understand that. Believe me, I'm one of the busiest people you'll ever meet. It's not easy to find the time to get involved these days, to volunteer your service, your time, but we need to find that time. A little bit of time goes a long way. You may not have a lot of money to donate, but maybe just a little bit of time can make a really big difference. So be sure, if you don't already have our news coming to your emails, be sure to go to our website at privateofficer.org, privateofficer.org, and sign up for our daily news blast, our newsletters, and our officer down reports. A lot of useful information. We communicate as we continue to grow and get bigger as an international business. We communicate primarily through email, although we do use social media platforms. It's not really for communication. When we're trying to communicate with our members and followers, we use our email database. So be sure that if you're not already signed up, that you do that today. And while you're there at privateofficer.org, if you're not a member, be sure to become a member today. And we have a lot of different offers. We even have group rates that you'll be able to participate in. If you have a security agency, a company where you want to bring in your employees, we definitely offer a much cheaper rate when you do it as a group. Today we have a lot of breaking news. We're going to be covering that over at the news desk shortly, and we're also going to be talking about responding to emergencies. We want to also update you on some other things happening here at the POI. We have several things happening during the next few months, and right now we're discussing and planning our yearly annual officer memorial services that we do each year in September. If you want to be involved in any of those, be sure to send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Like I said, always something happening. We also want to recognize our sponsors, Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. BodyArmorUSA.com. Check them out today on the web. Our friends up in New York, they have all types of protective gear, whether it's clothing or body armor. Doesn't matter if you're corrections, private security, or law enforcement. They have what you need to protect yourself on the job. Let's face it, even if you're working security, things are getting a lot worse out there. In fact, just this weekend, and we're going to talk about this when we come back from the break, we have 4 security officers killed, and we had 6 shot, 6 injured. So we're going to discuss that, but you definitely need to protect yourself. Our friends Ben and his brother over at Armor, Body Armor USA, will help you with that situation. Go to their website, give them a call today, Body Armor USA.com. When we come back from this quick break, we're going to be talking about those injuries and deaths that occurred, the violent weekend that we experienced, and so much more. You're listening to The Talk right here on Private Officer Beat Radio, the voice of the frontline protector. Don't go away. You're not going to want to miss what's coming up. We'll be right back.
You're on your way to meet up with friends, but you can't seem to get anywhere quickly. You don't want your friends to be annoyed, so you text. You're on your way. seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting while driving. Make sure you get where you're going. Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
Okay, we've jumped over here to the news desk this morning. We've got quite a bit happening coming across the wires and a lot of stories to share with you. Coming out of our city where our corporate office is, Charlotte, North Carolina, a security officer at the State Employees Credit Union confronted an armed robbery suspect. Shots were fired. The suspect fled toward the University of North Carolina Charlotte campus. Police from the campus, as well as Charlotte Mecklenburg police, converged on the area. Suspect is still at large. Not sure if the security officer got his mark, whether or not the man was injured, but he definitely did prevent a robbery in progress. Out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, police there say two Fort Wayne police officers were accidentally shot during a training exercise. That happened at the Public Safety Academy. Authorities are not saying exactly what happened, and they're not releasing the officer's name. They have turned the investigation over to the department's Internal Affairs Division and the shooting team, and more information will be released after their investigation. Coming out of Georgia this morning, a Georgia homeowner upset with two electricians that were working at his home, and he shot and killed both of the men. 68-year-old homeowner Larry Joel Epstein has been charged with two counts of murder. Police are not sure exactly what did occur at the home, but say that the man was upset and went to his room, his bedroom, evidently, and got a gun. Police are still investigating that situation as well. Chicago police say that another off-duty officer has committed suicide. This happened on Sunday. The off-duty detective, Eric Concati, 44, was found dead, according to the Cook Medical Examiners. This will be the sixth officer in less than 6 months who has committed suicide there in Chicago. Police in Beechwood, Ohio, said a disturbance at the local Beechwood Mall resulted in one person being shot. Security officers first were to respond on the scene. One man was transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police say that the man knew the suspect. No further details. Coming out of Anaheim, California, a high school security officer who was also a certified civilian traffic control assistant for the city was hit by a vehicle. The driver there was said to be under the influence of drugs when he crashed into the security officer who was directing traffic outside of the school at 1900 block of West La Palma Avenue. Police have the suspect in custody. The security officer is in critical condition. Police are also saying in Detroit that a security officer opened fire on a vehicle full of people after they did not pay their bar tab at the Views Bar and Grill. This occurred Friday night. The security officer said he tried to stop the vehicle, and when it came toward them, he opened fire. He is also a reserve police officer in a neighboring town. Detroit police are still investigating. Charges are possible. A Bronx man has been arrested after he had a loaded gun. This happened at the JFK airport over the weekend. Police say that he tried to avoid the TSA screening area, and that alerted the Port Authority police, made it look suspicious. They went to investigate it and found that he was carrying a handgun. He also has been arrested. In Reading, Pennsylvania, criminal charges have been filed against a Reading High School student who's accused of biting a security officer after he found a BB gun. The 19-year-old student is facing charges of aggravated assault, simple assault, two counts of disorderly conduct, harassment, and possession of a weapon on school grounds, and he's been freed on a $5,000 bond. Over the weekend was very violent for security officers, four security officers known to be killed on the job. Six others were shot, according to authorities in multiple states. Security officer confrontations, including one at an Oakland marijuana store, led to their shootings. A New York security officer working at a Target store under construction was stripped of his handgun, and he was shot. He's in stable condition. It's been a pretty dangerous month, actually, for the private security industry. And again, as we're coming into the spring, early summer, we're going to see more shootings, more armed confrontations as more people are out and about. We've talked about this numerous times. Shootings and armed confrontations are seasonal. As far as during the winter and Christmas, we do have a lot of robberies during the holidays, and then it tapers off. We start seeing a rise in armed confrontations and shootings in the spring and summer as there's more activity. In Menlo Park, California, Facebook finally says, yes, they do have a very large multi-tiered security staff. More than 6,000 security officers protect their campuses, staff, and visitors. Coming out of Manheim, Pennsylvania, police there say a man just walked in to a local hospital and confessed to a nurse and a security officer that he had just killed his boyfriend. The security officer was able to confiscate a knife that the man had. Matthew Van Zant has been charged with homicide in the death of his live-in boyfriend. You never know what's going to happen. This is not the first time that someone's confessed murder to a security officer. In Flagler County, Florida, they've had it. They have absolutely had it with homelessness, with all of the tent cities behind the library, with all of the disruptions around the library. They have hired around-the-clock armed security officers to patrol the library property and to eject any homeless campers and to keep a watchful eye on the property. Evidently, there's been a lot of issues for quite some time with homelessness in the area, people coming into the library. I know myself, I've seen this, where homeless people will come in. They'll use the restrooms, they'll use the sinks for showers, and they'll basically just sleep and use drugs on the property. So this is a major concern, not only at this location, but at other libraries throughout the country. In Boone County, West Virginia, courthouse security officers tackled a man after he used a baseball bat to hit and beat several people in the courthouse. Security officers subdued him, police assisted, and the man has been taken into custody. Right now we're monitoring the six security officers who were shot over the weekend between Friday and early Monday. We do know that one is critical, and we'll bring you more news as that happens. A woman in Orange County, Florida, Orlando, brought her dead daughter, 11 years old, to the hospital and confessed that she had killed her because she did not want her to have sex. It was a short standoff. She was taken into custody, and police are investigating that. In Merrimack, New Hampshire, a quasi-security officer, first responder, impersonating himself as law enforcement, was arrested. Police say he was driving a green Dodge Charger with a overhead light. He was stopping at car accidents and other emergencies, impersonating a emergency responder. He impersonated a security officer and a law enforcement as well. We have a lot of news. It happens all day, every day, but you can be sure that we're on top of the news. All that you got to do to go to our website at privateofficer.org and see all of the breaking news. Sign up for breaking news alerts, Officer Don alerts. Anytime something major happens, you're going to be the first to know because we're going to send you an alert right there in your mailbox 24/7. Go to privateofficer.org. That's going to do it for this episode or edition of this segment of the news. We're coming right back after these messages.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over. When you see lights,
vest,
I'll be flaggers.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over.
When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours?
You got our back?
Please, slow down.
And move over.
Emergencies. Emergencies happen around this globe, from coast to coast, around the world, every single day. It doesn't matter the size of the town or the city. It could be 5,000 or 5 million. Emergencies are increasing. In your town and city, wherever you might be, there are emergencies that occur every hour, every minute, every day, everywhere. Those emergencies have a wide range. They could be catastrophes, disasters, man-made disasters, or it could be weather-related. It could be a flood, a hurricane, tornado, or it could be somebody just having a heart attack in your shopping mall, in your office complex, at the apartment. It could be a shooting. It could be another situation that would be considered an emergency, and frontline protector would have to respond and know exactly what to do, how to do it instantly, because this is an emergency. According to the FBI statistics, serious crimes have fallen for the last 5 or 6 years, but calls for service, emergency calls, are rising as more and more people on this earth are experiencing difficulties, whether that be crime-related or medical-related. As a frontline protector working at any complex, any apartment, any business, office space, any manufacturer, retail, mall, we must be prepared to respond and to know what to do and how to do it. Courts recently have made judgments against security companies for not responding adequately or doing exactly what needed to be done. It used to be, you know, the old observe and report. Oh, let's just call 911. Well, 911 is great, but unfortunately in this day and age, they may or may not get there right away. Staffing shortages and budget cuts have dwindled service providers in many areas. Just the other day, I read where a Kentucky County Sheriff said, we just can't respond to the calls. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the budget. A few weeks ago, another county sheriff in Texas said, All that I can tell you folks is to lock your door and load your guns, because we're going to get there, but it's not going to be anytime soon. We just don't have enough deputies. And they're not the only ones who are saying the same thing. Emergency responders, EMS, and even fire departments are saying, we're coming, but, you know, our arrival time is getting longer and longer as we just don't have the manpower. Last year in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, with a population of about 1 million people, you would think that they would have enough fire engines, enough ambulances, enough emergency responders. But last year, D.C. had to hire private ambulances from the metropolitan Virginia, D.C., Maryland area to come in and help them respond to calls for several months because they just didn't have enough ambulances. Equipment failure, car accidents, vehicles go down, they need maintenance, and there's a staffing problem even in metropolitan areas like Washington, D.C. So as a frontline protector, as a security officer, a public safety officer, there's going to be times when there's going to be an emergency. It could be something serious. Someone may have been shot, or there may have been a heart attack. There may be some other type of disaster, and we're going to be on the front line alone for a period of time. It could be minutes. It could be longer. We don't know. And honestly, across the nation, things aren't getting any better. They're not looking good. Many police departments are having a difficult time recruiting law enforcement. In the last 7 or 8 years, as there's been more protests, more riots, more anti-police, all of this culminates into having a really serious staffing issue. And as cities grow and the area of response continues to grow, so too is the problems with being able to meet the demand of the service calls. In my area, where our corporate office is located in the metropolitan Charlotte area, a population of about 2.7 million right now and growing, about 70 people a day, the county sheriff and the CMPD, Charlotte Mecklenburg Police, just had a meeting saying we cannot meet the demand for calls in the metropolitan Charlotte area. We have to start allowing some of these smaller police departments to respond outside of their area to help us. But these smaller police departments, who themselves are understaffed, said, no, we can't help you. We don't have enough staffing right now to respond to our own calls within the city limits. There is a crisis, and unfortunately, as private protectors, we're on the front line, and we're in the middle of it because, you know, we used to depend on calling 911 and then kind of brushing it off and going, okay, we've done our share, we've done our job, now let the professionals respond in and take it from there. That's not the case any longer. They're coming, but there's no guarantee how long it will be. I just gave a class last week talking to a group of alarm companies. We talked about response times for activated alarms. Right now in the U.S., 94% of all activated burglar alarms are false alarms. Police and fire equipment are often tied up for a substantial amount of time on a false alarm. That's taking away from responding to real emergencies. We talked last week in the alarm class that I was doing, talking to alarm providers, that the response time, the average response time for an activated burglar alarm is 18 minutes. Now, in some areas, that might be a little quicker, but in many areas, an alarm activation that's not been verified is actually a very low priority. In the dispatch centers, they have a priority 1, 2, and 3. The lowest priority is given to non-urgent calls. When a police department has 50 calls holding and 10 of them are activated alarms, guess what? The police are going to where life is in jeopardy, where somebody's injured, or there's a potential for an injury or a death, like a shooting, a stabbing, someone with a gun. They're not going to those crimes, to those situations that are just not life-threatening. They're property crimes. Fire department's still responding to every call that comes in, but their response time in some areas is definitely going up. The average response time from a fire department or EMS provider used to be between 6 and 8 minutes. That's the window they like to keep it in. Now, it's anywhere from 8 to 12 minutes. You know, a lot could happen in those 8 and 12 minutes, especially when you're talking about something that's critical, like a heart attack, or somebody who's bleeding out, somebody who's been shot. A life could be lost because of those extended response times. Here in America, emergencies happen every single second. And when we're in uniform, it doesn't matter if we're at a concert, it doesn't matter if we're on park patrol, a manufacturer, people are looking to us to provide that emergency response. Whether it's medical care or responding to a crime in progress, they are looking for us. They believe that we are the professional and we need to be. Well, how do we prepare? How do we respond? Number one, of course, is going to be training. Many of us have gone through at least basic first aid and CPR. But honestly, that's no longer even cutting it. If you have basic first aid and CPR, that's just the minimal that you can do to help to keep someone alive. Right now, we're really recommending that all security officers go through the emergency medical response by the Red Cross and take that 68-hour course. That allows you to use EpiPens, oxygen, naloxone, really with all of these medical emergencies, opioid overdoses, drug overdoses, it's necessary that we step up our game and be able to provide that medical care until that next level of care can respond to us. We need to take the training that it's going to take for us to provide the level of service to our clients, our customers, staff, visitors. They're expecting it. What else can we do? Well, there's other types of training that we need to respond and that we need to take. Part of that is understanding not only what an emergency is, but what's required. We need to understand how to evacuate properly a building, how to respond now to active shooters, how to respond to domestic violence, which is really very prevalent in many businesses, workplace violence, very prevalent in all businesses. We need to step up our game through training, whether that's provided by our employer or through our own means. We need to have that training. A lot of security personnel just don't understand the position that they're in, the duties that they have to at least provide minimal care during disasters, during emergencies. Just last year, a large company in Philadelphia had to pay out $76 million because their security staff didn't act or react properly during an active shooter. An emergency happened at a church in Dallas, Texas, just a few months ago, and they voluntarily paid the family $600,000 because they knew their security team, which were volunteers, didn't respond appropriately to the assault and shooting of a domestic violence victim. Emergencies are occurring everywhere, all day, every hour, every minute. We have got to be prepared since we're on the front line. Training is the key. Education is the key. Understanding how to assess that situation when we arrive is the key. There is so much happening in the security field today that I don't believe that the companies or the employees are keeping up with it. We're held to a higher standard than other citizens. Once you put on that uniform, once you put on that badge, it's up to us to provide a level of care, response, and security that the customer expects and that the law demands. Courts have passed judgments in the last few years against security companies and their employees for not responding adequately, appropriately. Emergencies are on the rise. We've got to be prepared to respond. That's going to do it for this episode of the Private Oscar Beat Radio. We hope that you'll be safe, that you'll take your job serious. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you right back here on the radio.